This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The third hour of the Thursday.
Rolls wow. On.
Really? That's just, I mean, that was on purpose.
I didn't really have an intro scripted there. I was just kind of making that up.
Okay, all right.
You know, old brain was spinning in circles there for a second. I'm going to keep it a buck with you, ladies and gentlemen. Little touch of the senioritis going on, all right? We got today, we got tomorrow, we're off Saturday and Sunday, we're back on Monday, then we're off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We make our return on Monday, we're in Monday, Tuesday, we're off on Wednesday, we're back Thursday, Friday, and then we truly begin the new year with a regular broadcast schedule. We are very fortunate to have all of those days available to take off. And
absence makes the heart grow fonder, so that's our gift to you. Know us for a while. And then we'll be back, and it'll be like Christmas all over again.
It's like the ghost of Christmas past. Know us for a while, and then you'll know us even better.
Wow.
I know.
That's award-winning content.
Like a modern-day Mark Twain over here. You know what Mark Twain was? A writer? You know who else is a writer? Bang! Segue from the Greenville News. She covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department.
All right, that was a little aggressive.
I was very aggressive.
I apologize for that.
Very aggressive club horn, but deserved nonetheless by the lovely Lulu Kesson, who joins us every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk a little Gamecock athletics. Good morning, Lulu Kesson. How do you do?
Good morning. How are you guys? I'm happy to be here as always. I'm good.
I'm happy to have you. And I want you to know, Lulu, it was a milestone in the broadcasting career of one Rob Brown a couple of weeks ago because I made Mama Kesson's Instagram story. She posted the clip of you wishing her a happy birthday last week. I made the IG story. And I got to tell you, I'm probably going to go ahead and put that on the resume for future considerations.
That's hilarious. So I'm at home in Massachusetts right now. I got to go home early for the holidays. And my parents, they're like, oh, my God, you're like going to do it live from our house. They thought it was like so cool. And they're also upset because they can't listen to it live because like it'll echo and it will be weird. So like I guarantee you that their like ears are pressed against the door right now. And they're like listening from it like actually happening live from my room. But I'm glad that.
Hi, Mom! There you go. Maybe she heard that. I don't know. Tell your folks I said hello. They're fantastic. All right. Let's get into some stuff here, Lulu Kesson. We learned yesterday Kyle Kinard going to sit out the bowl game in preparation for the 2025 National Football League draft, which I don't blame the kid. I don't blame him. All I need is for him to go down to an ACL and end up getting Jonathan Brooks like the Panthers are dealing with right now, leading up to what is effectively a meaningless contest.
All right, I just want to interrupt for a second. That robs us of a possible Jadeveon Clowney moment.
Don't care. I'm not willing to bet Kyle Kinard's future NFL salary on, oh, cool, fun hit. Right? Like, I'm not there. Lulu Kesson, we know Kyle Kinard is out. Do we have any other knowledge of players that are thus far opting out of the Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl?
Shane said yesterday that one other player is currently on the fence, but that everyone else has actively said that they want to play for win number 10. I believe him, even if that's potentially a little bit of, you know, hiding the fact that maybe some other players besides just one are considering not playing, but genuinely, I wouldn't be surprised at all if a lot of the seniors and upperclassmen that do kind of potentially have NFL futures, like Rocket Sanders or even maybe Demetrius Knight, like if they are like, heck yeah, we're still going to play.
So, you know, I've said before on the show, Lulu Kess, and I believe I've said it to you, that to me, there are three things, the three C's of recruiting. And obviously, you got to recruit kids out of high school. I think you got to recruit kids to stay around. The three things you've got to have are coach, culture, and cash. You got to have a coach that players want to play for, a culture that players enjoy being in, and cash to make them want to be there. And which of the C matters the most to different players is obviously up to those players. But the one thing that I have given Shane Beamer credit for since the day he stepped on campus was, I think he does as good, if not a better job than anybody else at building culture, at having players feel like they are part of something special, which makes them want to put more into it than maybe they would if they were just chasing a bag or just playing for a coach. When the game is, again, ultimately meaningless in the grand scheme of things, my thought would be here, if all these kids are full tilt, if all these kids say, yeah, I'm in, even if I do have an NFL contract on the line, my thought here is Shane Beamer's built a culture that makes these kids want to pour more into it, and I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to talk to Shane one-on-one for about a little over an hour last week. I got to interview him for a story one-on-one, basically about kind of what you just said, the culture, about how much he cares about his players. And what struck me the most is just that in general, college football is changing so much. You know, sometimes it feels like minute by minute, there's a different law that's passed or just a different kind of dynamic or different thing coaches have to deal with, whether that's NIL or pay or anything like that. Whereas Shane is going to adapt, but he's going to remain consistent to the fact that he really, really, really cares about the players. And I don't think it gets lost on him that when he's asking for these players to come into the program, when he's recruiting, they're young kids. And he wants to make sure that they know that he's going to support them and treat them like the age that they are, like 17, 18, 19-year-old boys. Like, he's going to hold them to an incredibly high standard, and there's going to be an aspect of discipline, but he's going to talk to them about their emotions. He's going to talk to them about whatever's happening off the field. And I think that just creates a culture of a lot of openness that is allowing kids this year who's seeing, you know, success on the field. They're also loving the environment that they're in. They're not just winning, they're winning in a way that's enjoyable. And I think that's why a lot of people who, like you said, could easily opt out of the bowl game want to stick around, and they want to say, hey, I want to be the fifth team in program history to win 10 games at South Carolina.
How big is that to get to that double-digit win mark? We've talked about this a number of times. Before every season, Lulu Kess, and I ask fans of every team, what are your realistic expectations? What's your ceiling? What's your floor? The ceiling this year, for me, I said it was 9-3. I thought even with a bowl win, this team could probably accomplish a 9-win season at their best. Here they are going for 10. Even if win number 10 is in a bowl game, even if win number 10 is, again, I know I'm kind of harping on it this morning, but a meaningless game, is it meaningful? What's the attitude about the potential to grab win number 10 for the Gamecocks?
I think it's very meaningful, I guess, beyond even just the number. And I say that only because South Carolina basically, like, not begged, but they really wanted to play in the Citrus Bowl. So I think that Shane and honestly everybody else, they're like, okay, we were very fortunate enough to be placed in a really, really competitive and really great bowl. Like, we can't go out there and play flat. We can't go out there and kind of play like crap. I think another aspect, maybe I'm not reading into this, but maybe I'm just thinking of this too much, but I imagine some of it is like, we were very vocal complaining about the fact that we didn't make the playoffs, so we can't drop a bowl game now. And I'm saying we in the perspective of, like, the players that maybe are even Shane, like, hey, we kind of were always on ESPN making headlines because I was so upset that we weren't considered for the playoffs after, you know, beating X number of ranked opponents. okay, we're given a really great bowl game, and then if they don't win, it's kind of like maybe not the best look. But again, that might just be me kind of like attaching too much meaning to that. But I think that is potentially another factor. Like, okay, despite the fact that you guys, you know, despite the fact that they think they got snubbed from the playoffs, they gathered everything after the holidays, collected themselves, and came out and ended the season on a high note.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think that you are reading too much into that, Lulu Kesson. And I say that because of what happened to Florida State last year, right? They go 13-0. They win the ACC. They are left out of the playoffs. They end up going and playing Georgia in a bowl game, and they get absolutely shellacked. But as I've pointed out to people, they played with their third string on both sides of the football because the guys that didn't get in were like, bleep this, we're out. Like, what's the point of this game? Like, it does, results don't matter. We don't care anymore. And while I think it is perfectly valid and justifiable for Florida State to have effectively punted on that game, here we are a year later, and they are still getting beat up about it. They are still getting dumped on by college football fans for being weak and being this and being that. And I do have to wonder if some of that attitude has kind of started to seep onto the team, and maybe that's why that team turned around and ended up having maybe the worst season in the history of Florida State football. I don't think you're reading too much into it. I absolutely think it may very much matter for South Carolina to put on display that this is not something that they, you know, take lightly.
Right. And I also think, like Shane said, like we're gonna handle this the right way. And I think, again, kind of like to the culture that you're talking about, I think it's sort of like, okay, we can't dwell on what happened so much where it lingers into the last game of the season, where we have a really great opportunity here to play a really competitive, meaningful bowl game that has historic implications for our program.
Lulu Kesson joins us every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk South Carolina athletics. All right, real quick, Lulu, because we will not likely, actually, no, I do think we will speak to you one more time. No, we won't. We're off next week. We will not talk to you again before that bowl game. So I know we're a ways out. I know we've got some time between here and there, but what are your thoughts on this bowl game overall? And it can be from the perspective of development of the program, development of individual players, the legacy of being a 10-win team at South Carolina, et cetera. Just kind of what are your overarching thoughts about the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl?
Well, I think even if some of the upperclassmen or people who are potentially, you know, playing or declaring for the NFL draft decided not to play, the majority of those people, besides Kyle Kinnard, well, actually, honestly, most of those people, including Kyle Kinnard, would be off of on defense. Sorry. And so it's like the offense is going to be young anyways. And so, like, Shane's getting exactly what he's had all year in terms of who wide receivers, like, you know, ish tight ends, like if Josh Simon is back to play. So it's like it's just kind of going to be another game for Lenoris. However, if people on defense like Demetrius Knight decide not to play, or Debo Williams or Boogie Huntley or TJ, like if people on defense, it'll kind of just be a flash in a look at next year, in my opinion, because yes, they don't have a lot of the incoming recruits and some of the transfers who could very well start next year after a great training camp or whatever. But at the same time, if Shane, you know, uses his depth at some point on defense, combined with, you know, just the offense he's had all year, I think it might be, you know, depending on the score, it might be a chance for him to kind of see into the future a little bit.
All right, let's flip over here for just a minute or two and talk about the South Carolina women's basketball team, obviously looking to go win another title. They are 10-1 thus far in the season. They currently sit technically first place in the SEC, but that's because we have not had an SEC game in the women's side in conference yet. There is one loss on the schedule. It came a handful of weeks ago on the road at a pretty good UCLA team, a team that is inside the top five in the country. Little bit of a stretch here I think Lulu Kessin for the women's team to kind of work shape up a little bit. You got Charleston Southern, Wofford before you start SEC play with back-to-back roadies at Mizzou and at Mississippi State. Before we break any of these games and what the schedule in conference looks like coming up, kind of talk, folks, maybe give a bit of an introduction for the folks who are just starting to come over from the football world into basketball.
Yeah, I think South Carolina women's basketball was a completely different team before the UCLA loss, in the sense that I think they were really struggling to find their identity, specifically on offense. And once UCLA, the loss sort of, in my opinion, woke them up a little bit, it kind of snapped them really quickly out of some bad habits. They've looked like a different team, particularly in the half-court offense. You're just seeing a lot better ball movement, more productivity with, you know, using the post players and also letting the guards score. It's just they're figuring out how to have a more balanced scoring attack, because last year, obviously, 6'7" Camilla Cardoso was not only the person that most plays were run and designed for, but also every missed shot, she most likely could have the quick 2-point rebound. So I think that South Carolina, understandably so, has just worked to find their identity on offense. And then overall, their defense has been pretty solid. Dawn Staley was a little bit critical, rightfully so, honestly, of South Florida on Sunday, just because South Carolina looked so, so good against TCU on defense the week before. I think TCU scored 9 points in the second quarter and 9 points in the third. Like, it was just a defensive clinic. And then South Carolina came out really strong the first quarter Sunday and then kind of let up a little bit. So I think with two games left before conference play, it's kind of just about cleaning things up and being more consistent overall. Yes, South Carolina is only, you know, only lost one game, but my biggest takeaway is that some of the good habits just need to be, you know, there needs to be more consistency with the positive things that are happening on the court, because they're able to shake off a little bit of the multi-game bad habits. But now it's about, okay, you did that really well. Can you do that really well for four games instead of two?
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. And obviously, the next time we speak with Lulu will be in the new year. We will have a bowl game result to break down, and we will turn our attention towards basketball. Lulu, you are the best. Thank you so much. I hope you have a fantastic Christmas. Tell the same to your parents, and we will talk to you in the new year, ma'am.
I will. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you guys. Thanks so much. This was such a great part of my 2024, and I look forward to bringing it into 2025.
Let's go. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Appreciate her time today, as we have all year long, and look forward to having her back on the weekly basis into the new year. When we come back, let's talk some National Football League. 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast coming by to talk a little bit about the hopeful rebound of the Carolina Cats after their loss to Dallas. 9 o'clock, Hayden asks Mario with the BetQL Network comes by to give us his thoughts on the NFL, maybe a little college basketball tossed in there as well. 9:20, Fight Club. We hand out some Zoes.
Hey, you're getting there.
Yeah, that one hurt. I paid for that one. We hand out some Zoes, some end of the year awards for our favorite professional wrestlers, and then who knows what the hell happens to wrap up the 9 o'clock hour. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. At 8:40 on Thursdays, we take us a little trip right up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina. We welcome in one half of the Panther Nation podcast. My dog, Rashad Beard, stopping by to talk a little football with us. What's up, big fella? How we doing setting up for Christmas, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Things are well. Man, all is well. No complaints. My tree's been up since October, so I mean, I've been in the mood.
October. Tell me, right, like, at Halloween. tell me, like, October 31st, not, like, the 15th.
Yeah. No, right after Halloween.
All right. I can live with, like, November. I still think it's blatant disrespect to Thanksgiving, Rashad.
all due respect to Thanksgiving, but
well, what are you supposed to put up for Thanksgiving? Like pumpkin leaves.
Nothing, but
or
when
something?
You put up the tree, like it's officially Christmas up in this beer. Like we ain't doing like it's like you're just like having Thanksgiving in the Christmas background.
Rob, we all need a little Christmas, just a little Christmas.
I don't disagree.
For sure.
But can we do it, I don't know, at Christmas? Like when I go into freaking shopping malls in October 1st and there's Christmas stuff up, can we breathe for a minute, people?
No, we can't. You got to get in the spirit, man.
I'm always in the spirit. I'm always in the spirit, Rashad. Rashad Baird drops by to talk some Panther football with us.
That's a problem.
I mean, listen, I'm off next week. I will be. Come at me, bro. Rashad, let's start with the easy one, dude. What the hell, man? What was that?
Yeah, major letdown, man. Major letdown on Sunday. Was not expecting that. We got caught off guard. I think we got out-coached in all phases of the game. You know, we could talk about individual play and how that didn't lend well to a victory. But at the end of the day, it was top-down, just a deplorable game. We got out-coached. And, it was surprising. You know, I went into this game wanted to see how we would fare as favorites. That's something we haven't been favored in like 3 years. I wanted to see how we would fare, and it was important to see, and it didn't work out too well. Now, hopefully moving forward, we know how to act once we're favored. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look. We got smacked, man.
You know, the silver lining is you're in a position where you feel disappointment after that and not go, oh, it's another Panther Sunday afternoon. Like, you're in a position to actually feel disappointed because it felt like things were going in the right direction. The bad news is, you're disappointed. You came in as a 2-point favorite. You got smoked by 16 points. You keep saying we got outcoached. If I asked you to give me an example or two of what you mean by that, what would you lean on?
I'd start defensively, man. I don't know how CeeDee Lamb ends up one-on-one with Jordan Fuller multiple times on the same drive. Like, we did not adjust at all defensively. They just picked us apart. We still cannot stop the run. And I know it's a personnel issue, but not being able to adjust. I mean, you've got like four back-to-back rushers with 150-plus or close to 150 yards on us on the ground. So we're just getting out-coached. Offensively, I feel like we got away from the run way too soon. Even Micah Parsons will tell you that. Micah Parsons is like, man, if you look at their defense, their run defense is almost as bad as our run defense. And we only ran the ball with Chuba like 10, 15 times or something like that. So it's just no out-coached across the board. We got dictated to that. We allowed the Dallas Cowboys to tell us what to do on offense and defense, and we just did not adjust, in my opinion. And it's just in special teams, man. It's all across the board. It's not good. Not good football.
No, it was not good football. I do want to start with this, though, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Bryce Young, 19 of 28, 219, one touchdown, two interceptions in this one, and there's been a handful of people. I won't mention any specific names that may or may not be participating in this. Okay, you mentioned the specific name that may or may not be participating in this conversation. A lot of, there's regression, step back, and I'm not arguing that Bryce Young played a great game.
By the way,
I am
real quick, this is the first time we've heard about this game this week.
No, that's we talked about it on Monday in passing.
Oh, no.
Yes, we did. We talked about it because you said Bryce Young played poorly, and that was the regression. My argument, Rashad Baird, was, and again, I'm going to get hammered for this, and I don't care because I believe it. This, to me, felt like everything around him fell apart. What the hell do you expect out of the guy?
There was a bit of that. I think that, you know, again, when you talk about coaching, right, How does Micah Parsons end up one-on-one multiple times with Icky with no chip? There's no chip. There's no help there. So you're just setting him up. I mean, you're really just allowing the Dallas Cowboys to pin their ears back and get after him, and it doesn't help. And mind you, Bryce absolutely played a part. His hand is all the way in this L too, right? He had, what, four turnovers, two fumbles, two interceptions. So he can't dodge any blame in this. He has a part into it. But at the same time, there are some coaching mistakes where he was not put in a position to succeed. Offensive line did not help at all. You know, you've got the weapons not quite there. I mean, Coker is our guy. Obviously, 83-yard touchdown. That's great. I tried to tell you guys about him way back in training camp. He appears to be our best wide receiver outside of Adam Thielen, of course. But things are we've got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. I think there's plenty of blame to go around, including Bryce Young, in this L.
That's I think that's fair. I do want to point out My thought is not, oh, it's everybody else's fault but Bryce Young. My thought is, it's everybody's fault. And the more it's everybody's fault, the harder it's going to be for any quarterback to succeed. Nonetheless, a second-year guy who's really only found his stride the last couple of weeks. Talk to me about the run game. 16 rushing efforts in this game for 60 yards. On the flip side, and again, a lot of it has to do with you're not moving the ball, you get less opportunities to get snaps off. Carolina threw 28 times, ran 16 on the flip side. Dallas passed more times with 29, but they also ran the ball 40 times in this game. Look, dude, if you're not running the ball, and certainly if you're not having success running the ball, you're going to give the other team extra possessions, extra plays to take advantage, and Dallas certainly did that. What do you think there was any rationale behind that, or did, I mean, you were down 10-7 at the half. It wasn't like you had a big hole to climb out of, right?
Right. That's exactly right. There is no rationale behind. That's what's so frustrating, is that when you see the number 32 ranking behind somebody's run defense, then you're going to run the ball 40 times. You know what the Dallas Cowboys ranking is? 31. And we ran the ball 15 times. So it just doesn't make sense as to why we did not run the football 20, 30 times minimum. Right. And so it's frustrating because all we heard was from Canales was, hey, you're going to be frustrated with how committed to the run we are. And we just haven't seen it, especially when you're supposed to be running the football on a poor run defense. We just didn't do it. We got out coached. And that's why you go back to the conversations about coaching and Canales. Listen, he just didn't have a good coaching game. Right. And it happens. Right. He's allowed to have a bad game, just like everybody else did. And we were due for one. Right. We've been playing pretty well for the most part the past 3, 4, 5, 6 games, whatever. And we were due for a letdown, and it just happened to happen when we were favored. So it's unfortunate. But yeah, everybody's to blame in this L for sure.
Yeah, I think the problem you run into is there is a double-edged sword on this one, Rashad, which is on one hand, the talking heads around the country are going, oh, look at that. Carolina finally gets the spotlight I'm on a little bit. And they FA'd and then they FO'd against the Dallas Cowboys. On the flip side, I look at it and go, I am always looking, what's the teachable moment? What's the lesson we can take away from this? Well, that's the first time in 2 years that Carolina came in favored in a football contest. Now you know what it's like. Now you know what it's like to have a team across from you that is fighting as the dog. Now you know what it's like to be in that position. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth to learn what it feels like to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree with that. And I think what it really boils down to is this team, I think they started feeling themselves a little bit. Even though we're not getting the W's, I think they started to think that, hey, man, like, look, we're favored. The national media is starting to talk about how good Bryce is now, and things are going well with this team. Even though we're losing, the vibes are up, right? There's an energy there because we know we're getting better. And I felt like the team bought into that. And I felt like and that goes back to coaching. I really wanted to see how this team was going to react with that, with all that in mind. And they just came out flat. And so that, like you said, that is a teachable moment that they need to get back. And listen, we can't do that again. We saw what happened last time. We were favored. We got smacked, and we got to learn from it. And so hopefully that's the case. And again, we've got to take these small things, and hopefully next season when we are favored and things are in our favor, we do better and come out way more ready than we did this game.
All right, let's go ahead and take a look at this weekend's contest. The good news for Carolina, if there is any, is that you're back at the crib this weekend. You get a back-to-back homestand. The next one up against a 500 Arizona Cardinal team. So let's be very clear. They're a mid-team, but they're a mid-team. They got a good running game in James Conner. He's going to cross 1,000 yards on the season this weekend. He only needs like 27 to get there. Kyler Murray has been looking better game by game, week by week. This is a good Arizona team. It's not a great team. It's a good team. Carolina comes into this game as a 4.5-point dog at the house, and I'm going to fall back to Rashad Beard. I think I agree with you. I think the team started reading its own press clipping, started believing its own hype a little bit. You got punched in the face. I'm going to go back to take the expectation of win and loss off the table, and let's set the expectation of, do we fight, do we execute, do we stay disciplined, and do we give ourselves a chance to be a better football team? That's what I'm going for in this game. What are you looking for? What do you want?
Yeah, I mean, you got to put up some good film at this point, man. You got a lot of people who are, their jobs are on the line. If you look at this roster, there's a lot of guys that may or may not be in the league next year. So you've got to put up some good film. And I think everybody has, they got to go out there and prove it, right? We're not favored to win this game. I think the Cardinals are playing for a playoff, potential playoff spot and potentially win a division. So they're going to be hungry. So we got to pull up. We got to pull up with our best shot. And I hope that's the case. I think we've got a lot to play for individually. And hopefully Canales got a lot to coach for. We've got to start to put together some sort of a semblance of, hey, we can do this next season, right? And we started doing that. We started doing that up until the Dallas game. We just got to get back on track. It's not about wins and losses, like you said. I think for the team, it's just about, and I know this may or may not be good for the listeners, but we need some moral victories. We need something. If we're not going to get the actual W, we need a moral W. And I know cliche, that's, we don't take moral victories, but as a Panthers fan, I take it. I'll take it right now. I need something, right? And so, again, we were getting those moral victories in the games prior to the Dallas game. Let's get more of that. Let's get back on track. Even though we've been gutted with injuries across the board, there's a lot of things going bad with this team. But we need to get back on track for sure.
All right. Moral victory. This is a conversation Lonzo and I have had a thousand times on this radio program. I absolutely do believe moral victories exist. I think when you can take away that we improved here, we got better there, we cleaned this up, whatever, even if you lose the game, if you can show me progress moving forward, that's it. It's hard to benchmark that, though, right? Because they're subjective, yeah, what a moral victory is. So if I asked you to be objective about what you're going to say, we walk away from Sunday, even in an L, and go, I saw this. Is it better coaching? Is it more cognizant play calling? Is it more out of Chuba, more out of the offensive line? Like, what two or three things are the most important for you to see improvement in on Sunday?
Yeah, number one, I want to see Bryce Young, how he bounced back, right? He got benched, bounced back from that very, very well. Had a bad game. How is he going to react? Is he going to go back into the pre-benching mode, or is he going to turn up like he did the past couple of games, right? So I want to see him and how he reacts. That's number one. Number two, I've got to see improvement from Canales from a coaching and situational play calling standpoint. It has not been really good. He improved in the one game in the red zone play calling against Philly. Did a great job there. He tends to bounce back a little bit when he has an off game. So I do expect him to have a better play calling situation in this game. Defensively, man, it's tough because we're depleted there. But I would like to see some improvement from the run stopping perspective. Like, we cannot. I would like to see us hold James Conner under 100 yards. That'd be a great start. Just to give him, stop him for under 100 yards, and that would constitute as a moral victory. And I think that's darn near my Super Bowl at this point. If you can hold a rusher under 100 yards, that would be fantastic. I'm going to the chip off of that. So please, let's do that. And those are three things that I have for my moral victories going into Sunday.
I was like riding with you real hard until you got to keep a back under a hundy is my Super Bowl now. Wow.
I mean, I got to be honest. It's the truth. We haven't been able to do it.
I don't disagree, but like, we do at least a little bit chalk that up to the reality of you got a banged up defense. Like, next year, I don't think it's as much of a problem, right?
Yeah, but come on, man. You got to at least try. Like, it's tough. I mean, you're sitting opposite of this team, and this running back is licking their chops because they know I'm getting at least $150 and there's nothing they can do about it. Like, you've got to show some sort of respect. Like, we got to man up. So it's time.
I can respect that. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, head over to YouTube, go search and subscribe to the Panther Nation podcast. Hit that bell so you know when they're going live, which is like all the damn time. Rashad, my man, as always, brother, appreciate you. We'll be out next week. So have a tremendous, tremendous Christmas. And we'll get back with you the week after that in the new year, pal.
Same to you guys, man. See you next year. Good times.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Oh, I just want to say Merry Christmas, but you spoke for both of us. So, yeah. So I mean, as usual.
We're kind and generous on this show.
Yeah, that's us.
See you in a couple weeks, big fella. Appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. Again, make sure you check them out on YouTube. Get searched up, get subscribed up, hit that bell, and let the boys know that you got their back. When we come back, Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario from the BetQL Network, joins us. And I've been informed he has a little surprise for the great one. I'm intrigued to see what that's about.
It's probably the haircut.
I didn't think about it.
Probably the haircut. Yeah, that's probably what it is. We'll see.
We'll see after Lonzo blows you away with his sports flash. I'm depressed now.
I probably will be here in a little bit. I'm sure it's fresh, though, or whatever the kids say. Days after being cut.
The sounder first?
No. Oh. Days after being cut, former Chiefs Run, yeah, I probably should use. Yeah, you're right. Whatever. Well, I had the wrong one, so it doesn't matter. Days after being cut, former Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire has signed with the New Orleans Saints, although he was named to the practice squad. Current Saints starter Alvin Kamara's status this weekend at Green Bay is in question due to a groin injury, meaning Edwards-Helaire could be on the active roster Sunday. Gamecocks standout defensive end and Bronco Nagurski trophy winner Kyle Kinnard has opted out of the Citrus Bowl. The 6'5", 254 edge rusher led the SEC in tackles for loss and sacks and will sit out the bowl to prepare for the NFL draft. Tune in Saturday at 2:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Harvard Crimson. It's Furman versus Harvard right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.